in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. And I want to draw your attention to verses 16 and 17 of this chapter. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spur them as a man spurreth his own son that serveth him. In these words, we have what we could call the fellowship of the saints. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. That's the fellowship of the saints. Now in this text, there are five things that I want to consider with you. The first thing is, there's a people described that fear the Lord. And then the second thing is, there's a practice that is referred to. They speak often one to another. And then thirdly, there is a presence that they experience. The Lord heard it and hearkened. And then there's fourthly a publication that was produced for them. A book of remembrance was written before him for them. And then lastly, there is a promise made to them. They shall be mine. And so on. Those five things then. First of all, there is the people described. And they're described, you will notice, in a twofold way. They're described, first of all, as they that fear God. They that feared the Lord. And then it's also said again at the end of verse 14, them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. So the people are described in a twofold manner. First of all, they fear the Lord. And then they think upon his name. They fear God. They are described, this people, this fellowshipping people, they are described as fearing God. That stands out. It's mentioned twice, at the start of verse 16, they that feared the Lord, and at the end of verse 16, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. God's people are a God-fearing people. You know, whenever God looks on mankind, and he looks on the whole human race, in all its diversity, in all its different cultures, in all the different classes and colors and so on and so forth, whenever God looks upon all of humanity in all of its diversity, he only sees two classes. He only sees two peoples. He sees saints and sinners. That's all he sees. He sees sheep and goats. He sees the converted and the unconverted. That's all he sees, two groups. No matter how men will divide humanity up, that's all God sees. He sees the righteous and the unrighteous, and he sees those who fear him and those who don't. Two peoples. Two peoples. And here he's talking about one of those peoples. Those that fear him. It is a mark of God's people that they are God-fearing. If you don't have fear of God, you're not a Christian. Doesn't matter what you say. If you don't fear God, you're not a Christian. You don't belong to this people. It is a mark of the unregenerate that they have no fear of God. None. The Bible says there is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't see the Lord. And they don't care one bit about the Lord. He's not before their eyes at all. They have no fear of him. He's behind their back and they don't have to fear him. They don't see him. But God's people see God.
and the know God and the fear God. The fear.
The unregenerate, they might have social decency among their neighbours. They might even have religion. They might even attend the Christian church. But they don't depart from sin. And they don't regard God's commandments. And they don't live as if there is a God that they have to give account to. There's no fear of God. And they just do what they like and live as they please. But God's people don't do that. Because you see, they have fear. They have fear of God. They that fear the Lord. Now, the Bible says a lot about what it is to fear God. The Bible says it's the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says that the fear of God is not taught by the precept and traditions of men, but is taught by the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us how to fear, and it puts fear in us. And that fear is instilled by the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us, who are God's people. And it makes a man depart from sin. And it causes a man to keep the commandments. And it drives a man to Christ's blood. And it makes a saint walk humbly, reverently. It makes him walk in righteousness. And it causes him to want to do justly before God and to his neighbor. Because he fears God. He fears God. So the fear of the Lord is, the Bible says, to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way. And by the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, men depart from sin. God's people fear him. Now the book of Malachi itself, and we haven't time to go through it all, but the book of Malachi itself has much to say about the fear of God. And I suggest you just take the word fear and go through the book of Malachi and look at that. But we haven't time to do that ourselves this morning. So the fear God, this people are God-fearing. The ungodly, as I said, the ungodly aren't God-fearing. And you can't have fellowship with those who don't fear God. This is only a fellowship among the God-fearing. This isn't fellowship amongst those who don't fear God. You can't have fellowship with those who don't fear God. This is only fellowship among the God-fearing. It's impossible to have fellowship with those who don't fear God. In fact, the Bible says it's forbidden. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, rebuke them. So this is a fellowship of the truly God-fearing, they that fear the Lord. That's how they're first of all described. But then they're secondly described, this people, they're described not only as fearing God, they're described as those who think upon his name. Because it says there at the end of verse 16, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And that's a description of this people as well. They think upon his name. You know, God's people are thinkers. They're thinkers. You know, there are some Christians and they don't want to think. They just want to go to the meeting and have singing and have music and get a wee lift up from the beat and from all the crowd and the warmth and the atmosphere of the music. And they don't want to think. And preaching's not very important to them. But this people, they think. They think. Them that thought, they're meditating. They're reflecting. They don't just pass through life thoughtlessly and filling their minds with nonsense. No, God's people don't pass through life thoughtlessly. They think, they meditate, and they think and meditate upon the best possible subject that there is, His name. They think on His name. They're thinking about the Lord all the time. God is in all their thoughts. It's not so with a hypocrite. God's not in all his thoughts, the Bible says. But you see, God's people, all the time, He's in their thoughts. They're thinking of Him. They think on His name. He's in their thought life. And He's the most important thing in their thought life. His name. Oh, how they love His name. Jesus, the name I love so well. The name I love to hear. No saint on earth its worth can tell. No heart conceive how dear. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. They think on His name. That's the people that are having this fellowship. They're always thinking about Jesus. Thinking about Him. And He's sweet to think about. And He's lovely to think about. And He is so encouraging to think about. There's no one sweeter to think about. So they think about Him. That's not so with the unconverted. The Bible says about the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in his thoughts, the Bible says. But this people, He is in their thoughts. And He's thinking, they're thinking on Him. Saints are into theology. What's theology? It's the study of God. The science of God. And they think about Him. Who He is and what He's done. They're into theology. Christians are theologians. They think on His name. They're intellectual, as it were, about God. They're finding out all they can about Him. They're studying Him and His Word. They want to know. So they're theologians. And they study the Word, because you can't think in His name without the Word. And they love the Word, and it makes them think. And they love preaching. God's people love preaching. Why do they love preaching? Because it makes them think. It makes them think about His name. It makes them think about their Lord. And so they say, I have to get out to church this Sabbath day, not only because it's the Sabbath day and I must keep it, but I want to get out to church because I want to think on His name. And the preacher's been in the Word all week, and he's studied about the Lord. And he must have some thoughts about His name. And I want to hear them. I want to have those thoughts. That's a God-fearing. That's what fellowship's all about. God's fearing people coming together who are thinkers upon His name. They're thinkers upon His name. Because they think upon His name, they can't take His name in vain. Oh, they fear Him. And they think upon His name. And they could never take His name in vain. And they could never use His name falsely. And every time they use His name, the name of the Lord Jesus, they use it with love and affection in their hearts, because they're thinking on His name. They can't take it in vain. Couldn't do that. And whenever they speak of Him with love and affection, because they've been thinking upon His name. And they're filled with thoughts of Him. And so when they come to talk, they talk about Him. They're filled with that. That's what we're talking about this morning. That's the people who are referred to in this text. They love His name. They think on it. They're called by it. They're saved by it. They're kept by it. And they pray in that name. And they just think about it all the time. So the people described, they fear God. And they trust and think upon His name. Some trust in chariots, the Bible says, but we will remember the name of the Lord. That's what we're thinking about. So the people described. But then secondly, there's a practice that they engage in. Because this people that fear the Lord and that think upon His name, it says they engage in this activity of speaking often one to another. So this God-fearing people speak often one to another. Now there are four things about this practice that I want to draw your attention to. The first one is the verb, the speak. They're not dumb. They're not, well, they can be quiet, and they are quiet. But you see, when they get together with the saints to talk about the Lord, they speak. They speak. God has given them a mouth and a tongue to speak for Him, and they use it. They have tongues, and they use them for the Lord. They speak. Now, they use all their instruments to righteousness, their hands and their feet, and all of these are special tools that we can use to glorify God. But you know the most precious tool of all that makes us most like God and most unlike all the animals and the beasts is this gift of speech. We can talk. The animals can't talk. But we can talk because the Lord has given us a glorious gift. A tongue. Just a little member. Oh, but it's a wonderful gift of God. It's the greatest gift God has given to us. It's the gift of speech. And as a redeemed of the Lord, we can say so. We can speak. And we should. We should. And this people do. They speak. They speak. You remember how God said in Deuteronomy, these words of mine in this book, which I command you, these words of mine, they shall be in your heart. They'll be in your heart. But I don't want them just to stay there. God says, you shall talk of them. You'll talk of them when you sit in your house. And you'll talk of them when you're walking on the road in company. And you'll talk of them when you're lying down in your bed with your wife, or if you're on your own with yourself. You'll just talk all the time. In your house, on the road, in your bed, or when you lie down under the noonday heat, under the shadow of a tree, get out of the sun's heat, and there's a whole lot of you getting out of the sun's heat, when you lie down just to rest and refresh. Talk. Talk of me. Talk. Speak. Speak. That's what God's people do. And then when you get up in the morning, He says, when you rise up too, talk. Talk of me. Talk about my word. Don't talk about this, that, and the other, and all the gossip and the chit-chat. This is what you use your tongue for. Speak of me. Speak of the word. Talk. They that feared the Lord spake. They're speakers. And they can say, a man who fears God and a man who's thinking on the Lord is so full of the God, he can say, come and hear. Come and hear, all you God-fearing people. Come and hear. And I'll tell you what He's done for my soul. I can bring you up to date how the Lord has dealt with me this week. Come and hear, all you that fear God. And I'll tell you, they speak. But they didn't just speak. It says they speak one to another. It was fellowship, you see. It was two-way. It was the company of the God-fearing. It was the company of those who are really, truly thinking in God's name. And the God-fearing love to get together. And they love to say to each other, come and hear, all you who are God-fearing, who are keeping His commandments, who are walking humbly with God. Come all of you and hear, and I'll tell you what He's done. And they're the only ones who come anyway, because nobody else wants to hear. When you tell a one who doesn't fear God about what the Lord has done in your soul, you know what they think? They think you're proud. And they think you're a head case. And, or else they get embarrassed and they can't talk and they don't want to talk and don't want to hear about it and they go away. You don't cast your prayers before swine. But the God-fearing, they talk one to another. And they can talk about the Lord and there's no embarrassment. And they can talk about the Lord and the odd person doesn't think you're proud and arrogant. And so, it's the God-fearing together. They're kindred spirits. And because they're all indwelt by the same Holy Spirit. The psalmist David said, I am a companion of everybody. That's not what he said. He says, I am a companion of the God-fearing. Of all them that fear God, he says. They're my friends. They're the ones I can open up my heart to and talk to about the Lord. They fear God. I am a companion of all those that fear God and of them that keep thy precepts. And the fear of God can easily be recognized in a saint, brethren and sisters. There's a world of a difference between a pretender and a God-fearing man. The fear of God in a man comes out. And whenever you see it in a man, you love it. And you want fellowship with it. Saints love to get together to talk about the Lord. Because it revives them. It's refreshing. So refreshing. When you're with men of kindred spirit. And you just talk about him. You remember Daniel? He went to his house, the Bible says. And he made known the thing to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. He made it known to them. He told them that they might desire the mercies of God for us. And so he was a companion of the God-fearing. He went to his house and he told them. You remember how godly Anna, how she came into the temple, and it says that she gave thanks when she saw the Lord. And she spake of him to everybody. No, not to everybody. She spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. She spake of him to the God-fearing, to those who are thinking upon his name, to those who are looking for the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So the spake. They spake one to another, the God-fearing altogether. And the text says in our English translation, it says they did it often. It wasn't just a once-off. It wasn't an odd thing or a peculiar thing or a now and again thing. No, often. Often they just talked about the Lord together. It was a common thing. It was, as we say, not an odd thing or an unusual thing. It was what we have said, a practice. It was a habit. It was a habit that they had disciplined themselves to engage in regularly. They continued in it. Just like the old New Testament saints, how it says there, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. The order's right. You can't have fellowship where there's no doctrine in the head. You have to have doctrine in the head. You have to be filled with thinking on his name, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's hearing the preaching every week and being in the word every day, continuing in the apostles' doctrine, and then after that, fellowship. Because fellowship is based on fearing God and thinking upon his name. The fourth thing is, and this is very important, and I've already hinted at it, their practice of speaking one to another, and of doing this often, this practice comes out of their God-fearing thinking meditative hearts. That's what the whole context demands. Now notice, it is not they speak about one another. They didn't speak about one another. They speak to one another. They didn't speak against one another. They didn't speak down on one another. They spoke to one another. And they spoke back. It's two way. Speaking against one another is ungodly fellowship. Speaking about one another is ungodly fellowship. But speaking to one another in the fear of God and out of love for His name, that's fellowship. And nothing else is Christian fellowship. It's not gossip then. It's not running down, spreading scandal. There's nothing of the fear of God in that. They're not slandering. They're not highlighting and talking about the faults of others. There's nothing God-fearing in that, to point out other people's faults. It's far more God-fearing to come to your brother and say, "Oh, brother, I'm such a sinner. I don't even know why God bothers with me." And so it's not talk about nonsense. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And the hearts of this people are abundant with God's fear and love of God's name and God's ways. So the fellowship is not mere chit-chat, as I say, around a cup of tea. Yes, there's a cup of tea there. We're talking about in the Christian home, where this usually takes place. What the old revival saints used to call the after meeting. Generally, we don't talk in church, especially before. We seek God. We pray. We prepare our hearts. We go to the prayer meeting. We prepare our hearts. It's not a time for talking to one another. That's not the time for this. In God's house, it's the time for worshiping God together. Godward. But after the worship is over, that's the time for fellowship. Go home to your friends' houses. Or in your home. Just talk. Just go over the word. Or say, "Friends, let's pull the Bible down and let's pull our psalm book out and let's praise Him together." And it can be open and you can talk and it can be two-way. So I call upon you saints to check your talk before the meetings and be in your place in the prayer meeting and afterwards, having increased in the fear of God in His house and having thought upon His name, seek out the God-fearing and talk of Him. Talk of Him. Satan doesn't like that, you know. He resists this fellowship and he seeks to oppose it because he knows how it glorifies God. He knows how it hampers His kingdom. He would want the people to talk about everything else, about all the muck and dirt. That's what he would want them to talk about. He doesn't want this Christian fellowship. He resists it. He opposes it. He knows it does good saints good. He knows it revives their hearts. He knows it refreshes their souls. He knows it increases them in the love of God. He knows it makes them want to go out and serve Him more. You know, when you've been in the presence of a good man, and it's just full of the Word and of the Lord, and you just go out, "Oh, that was so good." The devil hates that. And he resists that with a passion. And brethren and sisters, that's why we need to guard against it. Guard against the devil. Resist him. He'll put into your mind things. He'll put into your mind that this brother's against you or that brother's against you. He'll sow all this nonsense in your mind and in your head, all that discord to break up any possibility of true Christian fellowship, resist them. Resist them. You need to resist them. And just fear God. And just think, not on all people all the time, but just think on Him all the time. And this will all come naturally. It'll all just fall into place. So we'll pray then. Lord, bless the word and write it upon hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.